Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court considers a government censorship case of social media. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments in the case of Murthy versus Missouri, where Missouri and Louisiana assert that the Biden administration officials violated the First Amendment by illegally coercing big tech companies to censor and suppress constitutionally protected viewpoints on social media. High Court is considering whether the government crossed the line from illegal coercion or they just used their own general persuasion. You know, some of the questions that came up from, for example, Kagan and Kavanaugh, where they were saying, well, when they were working with the government, obviously they contacted media, or it wasn't uncommon to contact media regarding a article, a source, some kind of statement that was wrong. Everyone knows, whether you're working in government or whether you're working in private, when the media does get something wrong on the facts and it's not favorable to you and it needs to be corrected, you oftentimes reach out to the media and you contact them, trying to educate them about how they got it wrong, mm-hmm. how it needs to be corrected. Sometimes they comply, sometimes they don't.
Of course, nowadays we know that media is not often correct.
Right.
Yeah.
But this goes far beyond reaching out to the media and saying, you know, the article that you just wrote about this policy of the government or this other practice or this other statement is wrong, and here's the facts, you need to get it right.
Of course, and we experienced it here at Liberty Counsel, especially during 2020 with the election, with COVID and the COVID shots. I mean, we saw some of our social media being censored or taken.
Right, and so, but the point though is that the government went beyond merely trying to correct false information that was put out in an article, whether it's social media or otherwise.
Right.
They used the government as a weapon to threaten and intimidate repeatedly in person, by phone, by text messages, by email, different people at Facebook, Twitter, other social media companies, to not only censor information, but to take down even individuals' entire post. So they were targeting people. Don't put up anything from this particular person regarding COVID.
And it's all in order to push the government's agenda.
Yeah, so they went beyond, and they also said, like Justice Samuel Alito asked a question, that they actually even used Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act as a threat that if the social media companies did not abide by what the Biden administration wanted them to censor, then the federal government would work to revoke their Section 230 exemptions of the Communications Decency Act. And that is what gives social media the liability protection from lawsuits.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, during the argument, the principal deputy solicitor general, Brian Fletcher, opened the argument, and he was representing the Biden administration, and stated that the Fifth Circuit, quote, mistook persuasion for coercion, unquote, and that persuasion is not a First Amendment violation. He further stated that the government at times had a right to, quote, bully pulpit, and that there was nothing wrong with persuading social media companies to moderate content, which is something the companies are, quote, are legally entitled to do.
Well, and there's a lot of truth in what he said. However, what the facts show in this case is it goes beyond persuasion to coercion. It's one thing to call and say, look, you got the dates wrong, you got the names wrong, you got the facts wrong. This is how it actually should be, and you need to correct this.
Right.
Or, you know, they have a slant on it that they don't like. That happens all the time. Reporters get calls, they get emails about their stories because people don't like them. Basically because they just don't like them or because they're factually inaccurate. That's different than using the federal government mm-hmm. as a weapon And it's also different than the bully pulpit. The bully pulpit is something where you speak publicly. Everybody can see you. They can hear you. The president speaks at the State of the Union or at a press conference or at an event. Perhaps the president is pushing a piece of legislation and trying to get Congress to go along with that legislation. The president then goes around and does a campaign around the nation and does different kind of stops using that platform as a bully pulpit, even having a conference where media is invited in the Oval Office. That's the bully pulpit, where everybody hears you, everybody sees you, and you can either accept what the president says or reject what the president says or some other high-level official. But that's different than going to the social media companies and saying, you need to get that post down now. You're taking too long. If you don't do this now, you're going to have serious consequences. If you don't censor this particular person, an entire person's communication on a subject matter, and some of that was people who were posting on COVID, the lockdowns, the lack of safety and efficacy for these COVID shots, then we're going to take action against you and revoke your Section 230 exemption, which means you'd be open for personal lawsuits and liability. That's different. That's not a bully pulpit. That is coercion. And so that's, I think, really part of the problem. Now, Justice Ketanji Jackson Brown, she raised a question about whether or not, and it may be out of context, that the government is hamstrung by the First Amendment. Well, obviously, the government is hamstrung by the First Amendment.
She just said the quiet part out loud there, whether she realized it or not. Yeah.
The Bill of Rights hamstrings the power of the government to protect individual rights.
Yeah.
I mean, the government can't censor speech, can't prohibit your assembly, your right to petition, your freedom of religion, establish a religion. The government can't, you know, infringe on your right to bear arms. That is hamstringing the government.
Right. She said the line is, does the government pursuing to the First Amendment have a compelling interest in doing things that result in restricting the speech in this way?
And the answer is clearly no. How can the government have a compelling interest of the highest magnitude to use its weaponization of the federal machinery against private entities to censor information that is otherwise protected by the First Amendment? You know, the government can't do that directly. And what they can't do directly, they can't do indirectly through third parties. They can't go around what the restrictions are by the Constitution to force other private actors to do unconstitutional acts if it was done by the federal government.
Right. And Justice Alito said, you know, I cannot imagine federal officials taking that approach to print media representatives. The only reason why this is taking place is because the federal government has gotten Section 230 and antitrust in its pocket. It's got these big clubs available to it. And so it's treating Facebook and these other platforms like they're subordinates.
Yeah. And let me explain what he's referring to, because if you're talking about, say, the New York Times, Washington Post, or some other print media, there's no such thing as federal protection under the Communications Decency Act under Section 230. And those don't get involved in antitrust issues unless they are trying to, you know, gobble up all of the print media, and that's not happening. So they don't have antitrust to threaten against them. They don't have Section 230 to threaten against them. And they don't have anything else to threaten against these companies. All they can do is basically say, hey, we don't like what you wrote. You need to change it. And there's no weaponization. They have no power over them. But over the social media companies, they used the threat of Section 230. And Section 230 came in as part of the Communications Decency Act when social media was just beginning. And it was just beginning with regards to song-sharing sites. And so these song-sharing sites posted the songs, and then they got sued for copyright. Actually, they didn't post the songs. They just had the platform. And individuals would post songs that are copyright-protected on the platform. And instead of those individuals getting sued, the social media platform would get sued. And they say, hey, wait a minute. You know, we didn't do it. Somebody else did it. And so Section 230 came in and said, okay, if you didn't post it, somebody did, then you get legal liability protection. Well, now what happens is social media has moved from a neutral provider platform to an activist censor or communicator, and they're still protected by Section 230. And the government threatened to revoke that if they didn't follow their censorship.
Right.
We're going to continue to monitor this case. It'll be decided by the end of June of this year. Liberty Counsel filed a brief in this case. This is very critical that the government respects the right of everyone's viewpoint under the First Amendment. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.